Hi, my name is Zia Sardar. I'm a writer and columnist on New Statesman, which is a weekly British magazine. Is there a clash of civilizations? Well, I think you need at least two civilizations to have a clash. When Gandhi was asked what did he thought of Western civilization, his answer was, it is a good idea. And I still believe the Western civilization is a good idea, but a culture that actually tortures people systematically, as we have seen in the Iraq affairs, I don't think that culture can claim to be civilized. On the other hand, I don't think there's much of a civilization on the Islamic side as well, because the great clash of civilization is supposed to be between Western civilization and Islamic civilization. And of course, in Islamic countries, they torture people just as easily.
What if we put aside that word civilization for a moment? Do you see a fundamental conflict between Islam and the West?
Well, there is a fundamental conflict between certain aspects of Islam and certain aspects of the West. For example, there is clearly a strand of Islam that we now recognize. I mean, people normally use the term Islamist to describe them, but we know what it is. It is the strand that comes from bin Laden, a strand that takes a very extremist view of Islam and that actually believes that their view of Islam should be imposed on others, not just the West, but also other Muslims as well. I mean, if we look at Al-Qaeda itself, for example, the most victims of Al-Qaeda are in Pakistan. I mean, suicide bombings in Pakistan is a regular occurrence. Hardly a week goes by where you don't have two or three suicide bombings. So in fact, Al-Qaeda, in a sense, is also at war with the Muslim society of Pakistan. So there is a conflict, if you like, between that particular version of Islam and the West. But of course, if you also have a West which believes that it can impose its own view on others, for example, its own view of democracy on others, then you have a different kind of extremism. So essentially, it's a clash of extremism, I would say.
How do you explain the mistrust, if not outright hostility, between so many Muslims and so many people in the West? I mean, why is this such a problem right now in history?
People don't kind of just react in isolation. I mean, if you look at, for example, the last 50 years, the biggest source of distrust between, say, Muslims in general and Western countries is, of course, the question of Palestine. Systematically, Muslims have seen a particular kind of bias in favor of Israel and against the Palestinians. And this has been going on not just for the last 10, 20 years, but it's been going on for 50 years. It's a long history of kind of distrust. But also, Western policies have consistently undermined democracy in Muslim countries. Western leaders have said one thing and actually done something totally different. I mean, Iran is a very good example. If you look at why, in fact, if you look at Iran today, most young Iranians who do not have historic consciousness actually adore the West. They all want to dress like Americans. They listen to American music. They identify with American values. But those Iranians who do have historical consciousness remember that, in fact, the CIA and the United States was involved in removing a democratically elected prime minister from Iran and imposing the Shah, you know, who was basically a brutal dictator. America, for example, systematically says that we stand for democracy and human rights. We want to see Muslim countries as democratic countries.
Right.
Well, this is very good. So why has, for the last 50 years, the United States been supporting Saudi Arabia, which is a despotic, absolutist monarchy? If you have a despotic monarchy that is basically there only because of the support of the United States, the monarchy in Saudi Arabia would not survive more than 2 weeks if it did not get the kind of support it gets from the United States. How are we going to have democracy in Saudi Arabia?
So you see this as a political conflict. I mean, if we want to try to strip down this sort of animosity between Muslim countries and Western countries to its primal source, it's a conflict over who gets to control whom and can the West impose its will on Islam, which is a very different analysis than you hear from a lot of quarters who see this as a conflict essentially between religion and secularism. You are not framing it in those terms.
No, I do not buy that analysis at all. Let us look at Turkey, for example. Turkey is a very good example. The party, ruling party that has actually won the election has been described as Islamist in the sense that this particular party has deep Islamic roots. It comes from, you know, Islamic activism. All their leaders come from Islamic activism. Yet this particular party is a deeply democratic party. It came into power first time through democracy. It has now been re-elected through democracy. It is the most successful government in Turkey's history, bar none. The economic achievements, the reform in terms of law have been absolutely amazing. Yeah. Now, who are the people on the other side who say that this Islamic party threatens secularism? Well, if you look at in context of Turkey, these are the people who actually identify with the military. When the Atatürk set up the secular republic, he made the military the guardian of Turkey's secularism. Now, there are lots of places where you see Islam, democracy, and secularism exist, you know, in perfect kind of harmony. Bangladesh is a good example. Malaysia is a good example. And now Indonesia is a good example, where you have a thriving democracy, a thriving secular state, but also a society that is deeply Islamic and that believes in the notion of Islam in politics. Let us establish one thing straight away. Muslims are no different from human beings anywhere else on the planet. Every Muslim wants to be just as free as every Western person. So what at the end it all boils down to is a question of opportunity. Space. Give us political space, the Muslims say, so we can create the kind of institutions and the kind of governance that we want. And in the end, it turns out that that governance and those institutions they want to create are in fact no different than the ones that, they exist in the West, because, you know, these are universal institutions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Ziyadin Sardar is the author of What Do Muslims Believe and Why Do People Hate America?